Well, I've exhausted just about every possible illustration I could give you on the four traditional words that we looked at throughout the Advent season on hope, peace, joy, and love. I think we've pretty well exhausted all we can do and talk about the characters of the Advent story from John the Baptist at the beginning to the shepherds and the star at the end. But John, as he begins his gospel, has already got us beyond all of that. There are no shepherds. There's no mention of a star. There's not even a mention of Mary and Joseph. He goes straight to the core, and he talks about Jesus, the Word made flesh. We have spent a lot of time in our times together over the years talking about different theologies, talking about a vertical theology of God up in heaven, omnipotent, and us down here in the world, as opposed to a horizontal theology of what we celebrated on Christmas Day, of God with us. Jesus who can relate to us. Jesus who understands everything we go through. In a few weeks when we get into the Lenten season, we're going to be looking at Hebrews. And he was tempted in every way that we are, yet never sinned. And therefore, we have a compassionate high priest who we can approach because Jesus understands everything we go through because he lived like one of us. That's the horizontal. I think what John is especially emphasizing is this vertical. That Jesus is God. John writes his gospel to those who already believe, and he wants to strengthen their faith. So really, John writes to us. John makes no bones about it. From the beginning, he uses the words that begin the whole Bible. In the beginning, the book of Genesis begins. And likewise, so too, his gospel. In the beginning. And what's the first thing that God creates in Genesis? He separates the light from the darkness. And he immediately starts talking about Jesus being the light. He doesn't want us to miss it in this prologue, the sort of summary, the preview of what he's going to go out and talk about in the rest of his gospel by saying, Jesus was there from the beginning. Jesus is God. Nobody has ever seen God except for Jesus. So therefore, if you want to know God, get to know Jesus. For most of us, this will be our last worship experience in 2008. Perhaps it gives us pause to reflect a bit upon how God, through Jesus, has been work in our lives throughout this year, and perhaps how God might be calling us to a greater commitment to Jesus Christ as we go forward in 2009. I use a lot of the Christmas pageant stories that go awry in my sermons. You heard several of them during the Advent season. Somebody sent me one this week in a letter that I think bring across John's theme very well. It goes like this. There was a church that had a Christmas pageant every year, and it continued to grow and to grow such that they would have fights amongst themselves about who got to be Mary, who got to be Joseph, who got to be the shepherds, and so forth. Well, the directress of the play decided she would solve all of that. They had all these extra costumes. Why just have one Mary? They had a bunch of Marys. Why just have one Joseph? They had a bunch of Josephses. And consequently had a lot of Jesuses as well. And what she had to do in the sanctuary of that church was, so they all knew where they're supposed to stand, she took tape and she made a little cross with the tape. And each of the characters knew, this is my cross, this is where I stand for the Christmas tableau. Well, the day came for the special Christmas pageant. The problem was, every time they had rehearsed, it was without costume. The angels came out first, and with their great big wings, the first angel went and stood upon his spot on his cross, but because his wings stuck out so much, he covered up the crosses of the two people to the left and to the right as well. The shepherd came out who was supposed to be on the cross next to the angel, a junior high kid who had a rather foul mouth. And he came out and right into the microphone said, "This blankety-blank angel is keeping me from seeing the cross." He makes a great theological point. Fill in whatever you would want, not for the blankety-blank, but for the angel. What is it that keeps you from seeing the cross? John is telling us, maybe we need to take out all the frou-frou. Take out the Mary and the Joseph and the shepherds and the star and the Magi and John the Baptist and everything else that might get in the way and get to the core of what we believe. Jesus is God. God loved us so much that in the fullness of time, to try to get us in some way to understand how much we are loved, He sent Himself to us. Don't let anything stand in the way of helping you to see that. The story is also told of the angel Gabriel, who after delivering all the message goes back up to heaven and has a conversation with God. And the angel Gabriel says to God, "Your plan's not going to work. I went down there and I talked to all those people like you told me, and they're all scared to death of you. Every single one I talked to, I had to start my message by saying, 'Fear not,' because they're scared to death. Your plan won't work, God." And God responds by saying, "That's exactly why my plan will work. Because I will send myself to them in the most non-threatening, receptive way that anybody could possibly ever receive another human being. I will send myself to them as a defenseless little baby." Perhaps we need to think of it in those terms. God wanted to come to us in a way that we couldn't possibly feel threatened or fearful. He wanted to come to us in a way that we would be most apt to be able to receive Him. In His fullness, we have all had a share. Grace upon grace. As we are invited, as God gives us that invitation each and every day, especially in this season, to welcome Him in, may our RSVP always be, "Yes." Let us take that to prayer.